ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
गीता चैप्टर 4 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज टेक्स्ट 10
वीतराग भय क्रोध मन्मया मामुपाश्रिता बहवो ज्ञान तपसा पूता मद्भावमागता।
From attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As described above, it is very difficult for a person who is too materially affected to understand the personal nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Generally, people who are attached to the bodily conception of life are so absorbed in materialism that it is almost impossible for them to understand how the Supreme can be a person. Such materialists cannot even imagine that there is a transcendental body which is imperishable, full of knowledge and eternally blissful. In the materialistic concept, the body is perishable, full of ignorance and completely miserable. Therefore, people in general keep the same bodily idea in mind when they are informed of the personal form of the Lord. For such materialistic men, the form of the gigantic material manifestation is supreme. Consequently, they consider the Supreme to be impersonal. And because they are too materially absorbed, the conception of retaining the personality after liberation from matter frightens them. When they are informed that spiritual life is also individual and personal, they become afraid of becoming persons again, and so they naturally prefer a kind of merging into the impersonal void. Generally, they compare the living entities to the bubbles of the ocean which merge into the ocean. That is the highest perfection of spiritual existence attainable without individual personality. This is a kind of fearful stage of life devoid of perfect knowledge of spiritual existence. Furthermore, there are many persons who cannot understand spiritual existence at all. Being embarrassed by so many theories and by contradictions of various types of philosophical speculation, they become disgusted or angry and foolishly conclude that there is no supreme cause and that everything is ultimately void. Such people are in a diseased condition of life. Some people are too materially attached and therefore do not give attention to spiritual life. Some of them want to merge into the supreme spiritual cause, and some of them disbelieve in everything, being angry at all sorts of spiritual speculation out of hopelessness. This last class of men take to the shelter of some kind of intoxication, and their affective hallucinations are sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. One has to get rid of all three stages of attachment to the material world, negligence of spiritual life, fear of a spiritual personal identity, and the conception of void that arises from frustration in life. To get free from these three stages of the material concept of life, one has to take complete shelter of the Lord, guided by the bona fide spiritual master, and follow the disciplines and regulative principles of devotional life. The last stage of devotional life is called Bhava or Transcendental Love of Godhead. According to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of devotional service, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangata Bhajana Kriya Tato Narta Nivritti Sya Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata Ata Shaktis Tato Bhavas Tata Prema Byudanchati Sadakanam Ayam Premna Pradur Bhave Bhavet Krama. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment, attains steadiness in self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. In the prema stage, there is constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, by the slow process of devotional service, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being freed from all material attachment, from the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, and from the frustrations that result in void philosophy. Then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Lord.
Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashrita bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agata.
Being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me.
Hare Krishna. So, seeking the blessings of all the assembled devotees and guests, we welcome you to today's Bhagavad Gita class. So, tomorrow is Narasimha Chaturdashi festival, and what better verse, because here Krishna says, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and they were fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me. So, the divine incarnation of Narasimha Dev appeared just for such a great soul, just for the pleasure and for the protection of such a great soul, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, the divine boy saint. Now, tomorrow we will hear a lot of qualities about Prahlad Maharaj and how his devotion attracted the Supreme Lord. But a conditioned soul has a tendency to be suspicious or not have full faith that does people with such saintly qualities actually exist. They want somebody in flesh and blood. Okay, your scriptures say this, but is it really true that such a person can exist in this material world with this kind of devotion? Therefore, it is very important, in whatever field of life we may be in, we need heroes. Heroes who have achieved success in that particular field of life, and by watching whose example, we are inspired to follow them. Even in, more so in spiritual life, because in spiritual life, when we are trying to practice spiritual life, we are competing against the entire material energy. Hence, it is very necessary for us to have examples, exemplary examples in front of us, whom we can emulate and follow. So there are many examples in spiritual lives, but one such example we can think of is our own very dear Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. Just like his title Prabhupada signifies the master at whose lotus feet all the other masters take shelter. Or in the context that we are speaking in, we can also say the hero, the supreme hero, whom all other spiritual heroes worship and try to follow. So since it's the occasion of Narasimha Chaturdashi, you know, just like in a movie, when the hero plays a double role, it's more exciting, it's more adventurous. You know, people go more for such movies. So similarly, in the next 40 minutes, I would like to speak about a certain episode in Prabhupada's life in which Prabhupada played a double role. On one hand, just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was compassionate and he wanted to preach and help the conditioned souls by spreading the message of Krishna consciousness. And the other role he played as Narasimha Dev to protect his movement from attacks by the demons.
So before I begin further, I would like to seek the blessings and permission of one particular devotee, His Grace Vraj Bihari Prabhu, because this particular theme he spoke about and covered in a Sunday feast class a few months ago. So our presentation on the same theme will be like that of a glowworm in front of the presentation, sun-like presentation of Vraj Bihari Prabhu. And I strongly urge that all of you, if you want to hear, you should hear his class. Just log on to the site www.iskondesiretree.com and please download his lecture. So this is like a little advertisement for our website also. So the story starts in 1922 when Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charan at that time, was given instructions by his spiritual master to preach the message of Krishna consciousness far and wide, especially in the western countries. This instruction became like a blazing fire in the heart of Srila Prabhupada, and for not less than 2 decades, he was trying very, very, very hard to spread this message in India. But in India, always the response would be, Swamiji, I mean, you don't have to tell us all this. Krishna is our person of our own backyard. We know him. You don't have to tell this. Tell it to somebody who doesn't know it. So because people in India already thought that they knew Krishna, they knew devotional service, they were not willing to open their hearts and accept it, Prabhupada went to the West, went to New York City, the capital of materialism, and tried to establish Krishna consciousness there. And Krishna reciprocated with his single-pointed efforts extraordinarily. Never before in the history of Vaishnavism did anybody get such results. People who were completely addicted to sinful activities were joining his movement wholeheartedly, leaving all kinds of bad habits. Not only that, just by hearing his divine instructions, these personalities who had just recently engaged wholeheartedly in sinful activities were motivated to help others also on to the path of devotional service. So there were devotees being sent all over the world. Centers were being opened in North America, South America, Europe, different parts of Southeast Asia, even as far as Australia and New Zealand. He was getting tremendous success. And the scriptures emphatically declare that the level or the advancement of a Vaishnava, one of the criteria to judge, is by seeing how he is able to convert other persons to Vaishnavism. So with this tremendous success with these disciples, Prabhupada decided to bring them back to India. Because India, as we all know, we Indians, we generally have a tendency then as well as now to be very enamored by this foreign-made stamp, made in America or made in London. Anything foreign stamped is very attractive. Therefore, Prabhupada decided that if he came to India with his Western-born disciples, then Indians will finally take Krishna consciousness seriously, seeing that if these Western disciples can practice Krishna consciousness, then we can also do the same. So when they came, the first kirtan was held in Chaupati Beach, where the foreign devotees created a big sensation. The newspaper reporters who came there were crying in tears of joy that finally somebody is representing true Vaishnavism, has come here and is presenting to us our own culture which we have forgotten. Even the police, the security that was standing were dancing, and it made the front page story in the Times of India. This was soon followed by the Cross Maidan festival, where 20,000 people were attending the festival every day. Prasadam was being distributed in a massive scale, a lot of book distribution, and we all know that this festival, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and His Loknath Swami Maharaj, they got in touch with Krishna consciousness for the first time, with Srila Prabhupada. So at this time, Prabhupada was seeing that Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki Jai. Prabhupada was seeing that his devotees
are getting tremendous success, but for this success to be sustained, they needed a preaching center in Bombay. Right now, they were staying in the posh locality of Akash Ganga, Malabar Hill, close by. But that was just a building. Prabhupada wanted a place, a center, wherein devotees and other guests could come regularly, associate with devotees, hear Krishna Katha, take prasadam, and be infused with Krishna consciousness. So devotees were showing him various places in and around South Bombay, but Prabhupada was not so impressed with all these places. And one fine day, a Mr. N made an offer to Prabhupada of 5 acres in Juhu. Now Juhu at that time was 40 years ago, was not the Juhu today. At that time Juhu was a jungle and all kinds of mosquitoes, insects and snakes were in that particular land, overgrown grasses. And moreover, there were unfavorable tenants at the back of the property. Of course, 5-star hotels were coming up and real estate dealers expected the prices to increase. But also a cause for worry was Mr. N's personal character. Now this Mr. N was a very, very powerful political and influential person. He was the ex-sheriff of Mumbai and he was also the publisher and editor of a popular, at that time, very popular English newspaper. And also there were questions about his character. So the devotees were a little reluctant to be dealing with him, but when Prabhupada saw this particular property in Juhu, he remembered that years ago in 1965, when he would go to Sumati Morarji's house to give Bhagavatam classes, he had noticed this property, and the thought had come to his mind that this is a very nice property to build a Krishna temple and make a Krishna conscious center here. So he remembered that, and when Mr. N offered the same property to Prabhupada, Prabhupada took this as an indication from Krishna that he should get this property. So then Prabhupada and Mr. N met in Mr. N's house and they discussed on the terms on which the property should be taken. So the price agreed was 16 lakhs. This is December 1971. So if you take into consideration inflation, the 16 lakhs is approximately around 30 crores of today's money. So this is a big risk because, you know, at that time, Prabhupada did not have any money to pay 16 lakhs. But then he was willing to take the risk on Krishna's behalf because he wanted the temple to be set up urgently because he saw an urgent need to spread Krishna consciousness in Bombay. So the terms were decided like this. Of the 16 lakhs, a down payment of 2 lakhs would be made and the remaining 14 lakhs would be spread over several years and ISKCON would pay regular installments to our Mr. Nair. And Prabhupada further negotiated that the 2 lakhs down payment that would be made, that was divided into 50,000 rupees he would give right now. And on payment of another 50,000 rupees, next 50,000 rupees, the devotees would move into Hare Krishna land. And once the remaining 1 lakh of the down payment is made, then Mr. Nair would give him the deed. So this was the terms that were decided upon. So Srila Prabhupada was very happy that devotees have been able to get this land. This was a nice land at a very cheap price because the real estate price was going to go up. And he had a major vision that we will build an international hotel here for guests, for businessmen, wherein they can come and stay in the hotel and also be exposed to Krishna consciousness activities and thus their hearts can change. And a school, he wanted to make a cooperative society of devotees wherein the devotee children can also go to the school which is there in the compound itself, center itself. And also, this property will become the India headquarters. The India headquarters will be in Mumbai, this particular property. So the devotees, when they saw this and they heard this vision, they were not able to reconcile because the reality is something else. And what Prabhupada is seeing and telling them and trying to inspire them about is something else.
Famously, once Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he told Prabhupada on behalf of all the devotees that, "Prabhupada, you expect us to move into this land, but we are Western devotees. We need doorknobs and we need running water." So Prabhupada simply asked, "Don't you want to get purified?" So this statement of Prabhupada went deep into the devotee's heart, because when the spiritual master gives an instruction, it's not simply an ad hoc instruction. It is to purify the disciple and to elevate the disciple's consciousness. And moreover, Srila Prabhupada, by his own personal example in his life, was showing how he was doing much more than what he asked his disciples to do. So by instructing like this, Prabhupada left for Jaipur in Jan 1972. But till January, the disciples had not yet moved in, because Madhudvisa Swami, who was in charge at that time, was unable to motivate the devotees to move in. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, his other manager in Juhu, was already given sannyas, so he was out preaching. So Brahmanand Swami was in Nairobi, and Prabhupada wanted a veteran devotee whom he trusted to manage this Juhu property. So acting swiftly was necessary, so Prabhupada decided to travel all the way to Nairobi, Kenya, give his association to the devotees and the people of Kenya, and also to ask Brahmanand Swami to come back to Juhu with him. So when Brahmanand Swami met Prabhupada, Prabhupada told Brahmanand Swami that, "Brahmanand, which do you think is the most important city in India?" So Brahmanand Swami thought that Prabhupada is from Calcutta. So if I say Calcutta is the most important city, Prabhupada will be very happy. So Brahmanand Swami said Calcutta. So Prabhupada said, "Calcutta? No. Calcutta is third most important. The most important is Mumbai. Second is Delhi. Calcutta is third. So I want you to come with me to this Juhu land. We have got a land, and he told the same vision that, you know, we are going to build up this property, and it'll be a very nice preaching avenue. It'll help in the preaching Krishna consciousness to many people. So you please come to Juhu with me." So when Brahmanand Swami saw Prabhupada's strong desire, then he agreed to come to Mumbai. So in February 72, Prabhupada went to South India and asked the devotees to pay the next 50,000, and the devotees moved into the Juhu land. Now Brahmanand Swami was very inspired. He knew that his guru wanted the devotees to develop this land fast. So he asked the devotees to move into the land, and the first thing was they decided to arrange a pandal. Because when Prabhupada comes back from South India, let us start off the preaching activity. The preaching should not depend on external situations. So Brahmanand Swami, with the help of the devotees, cleared the land. He was helped by Mr. N himself, and also some life members also came and supported in clearing away the land, arranging the pandal. And Radha Ras Bihari, Prabhupada instructed that by the time I come back, Radha Ras Bihari should be installed in that makeshift tent. Even though the tent, it was so fragile, the tent would sway in the wind. But still Prabhupada insisted that Radha Ras Bihari should be installed. The devotees were very surprised. "Prabhupada, we don't have facilities." And they were trying to explain Prabhupada what is the DT standard. I mean, to Prabhupada. Of course Prabhupada knew. DTs means 6 times offering, 6 times worship, immaculate cleanliness. But Prabhupada did this because this was a very transcendental tactic. Because he knew that if the DTs are on the land, then they are the owners of the land, and nobody can evict the devotees from there. Because then the land belongs, of course everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate owner. But if the deities are there, it will be difficult to evict the devotees. And also that Prabhupada came, and there was a pandal program. And of course the success was not as much as the program downtown, because downtown 20,000 people were coming every night. And here in Juhu, because it was in the suburbs, only 500 people were attending. But Prabhupada was happy. Lord Prasadam was being distributed, books distributed. And the devotees then paid the 1 lakh remaining amount. That was the remaining amount of the down payment to get the deed. And Prabhupada, it was just a formality now. Mr. N would give him the deed. So they also held a cornerstone laying ceremony during this, around the same time. And just as an example as to what is the kind of difficulties the devotees had to face, because mind you, these devotees are basically from West and they are coming, they are visiting India perhaps for the first time, and to deal with Indian contractors, laborers, bureaucracy, permissions, it was a real tough thing on their minds. For example, the contractor who set up the pandal, he convinced Brahmanand Swami that he should pay 40,000 rupees for the pandal construction. When Prabhupada heard this, he said, 40,000? I will not give a naya paisa more than 4,000. He can get only 4,000 rupees. So when the contractors came to Prabhupada, so Prabhupada said that you are already 4,000 rupees you take, because already you are making 500% profit in this 4,000 rupees. So you can see, if Prabhupada was not there, and Prabhupada would always say, he was very expert at in such kind of dealings, he would always say, I am a Calcutta boy, I cannot be cheated easily. But you Western disciples, you are very naive, you can be cheated easily. So after this incident, Prabhupada planned a 6-month world tour, because now the moment the deed would be received, Prabhupada wanted the construction to begin immediately. And he had a crisis in the management actually now, because Madhusudana Swami, again he told Prabhupada that he would not be able to continue here, he was not inspired, he expressed a desire to go to Australia. Brahmanand Swami said again that his responsibilities in Kenya and Nairobi were pulling at him, so he went back to Kenya. So at that time, Prabhupada chose a young brahmachari, who is now His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, our worshipable Giriraj Swami Maharaj, but at that time he was a young brahmachari, Giriraj Das Brahmachari. And throughout this narration, we will refer to him as Giriraj, keeping in mind this context going forward. And he chose Giriraj as the manager. Now, even though Giriraj was very inexperienced, Prabhupada saw that he was a very sincere person and he was expert at cultivating life members, at maintaining relationships. So therefore, even though he was simple, Prabhupada sensed and saw that Giriraj was completely surrendered to the instructions of a spiritual master. Therefore, he requested Giriraj to become the manager. And also, during that pandal, there was a tourist who had just come, Mr. Hans Kielman. So when Prabhupada asked him, what is your profession? This person said that he was an architect. So immediately Prabhupada gave him some photographs. Like, Prabhupada was so expert at engaging all conditioned souls in service. Immediately he gave him photographs of the different temples in Vrindavan and asked him to make a plan similar to these temples which he wanted to set up in Mumbai, Juhu. And also he instructed Giriraj that you arrange for 64 lakhs for construction, and by the time we come back, we can start the construction. And the relationship between the N family, Mr. and Mrs. N and Prabhupada, was so cordial that when Prabhupada was at Sahar Airport waiting for the flight, then Mrs. N herself came to see of Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada from Australia, he traveled to Auckland to Hawaii. Then suddenly in Hawaii, he gets a letter from Giriraj saying that he's paid Nair 7,500 rupees. Now Prabhupada was surprised. Why is it 7,500? What is the explanation? So Giriraj said that, N explained something, this, that. He did not explain clearly. But my understanding is this 7,500 is part of the installment which we'll pay as part of those 14 lakhs. So Prabhupada said fine. So then Prabhupada is traveling, preaching. He went to Los Angeles, then Mexico. Then, back from Mexico, he's in Los Angeles. Then now, Prabhupada receives the information from Giriraj Maharaj that now our Mr. N is asking for a 5 lakh sales gain tax to pay. So Prabhupada had the agreement with him. So Prabhupada said that this agreement doesn't mention anything about the sales tax payment. And also, sales tax means it has to be paid by the person who is selling. So why is he demanding the money from us? And anyway, if he's insisting on it, then he asks Giriraj, you try to solicit the help of our well-wishers like Sumati Morarji and others and try to arrange for this amount, financial amount, and that we can also deduct, this amount also we can deduct from the future installments that we'll be paying to Mr. N as part of those 14 lakhs. So then Prabhupada continued his world travel, New York, London, Paris, to Scotland, then back to London. You know, a lot of time Prabhupada is meeting so many people, writing his books, having conversations, inspiring devotees everywhere. But at the back of the mind, this Juhu project is always there. So now the time is August 72. Remember, Mr. N first made the offer in December 71. Now we are in August 72. Over 8 to 9 months have already passed. So now Prabhupada asks again, Giriraj, I have not heard from you. Has the deed been received? Now this deed is a something, is a document by which it mentions that now this property officially belongs to ISKCON. Mr. N has written away his rights and has given the property to ISKCON. So now when Giriraj approached Mr. N said that you're a religious organization. You have to take permission of the charity commissioner. So when Giriraj approached the charity commissioner said that you should have applied 6 months before making the agreement. So it may not be possible right now. So this is when Giriraj became suspicious that there is something fishy, as we may call it, going on here. Why the delays, one after the other delays? And Giriraj found out through other sources that because Mr. N was very nicely politically connected, he was influencing this charity commissioner not to give the permission. So now it was becoming more and more like a Gordian knot for Giriraj, because on one hand, a spiritual master, he knows it's his spiritual master's desire, but and he's not able to fulfill it, he's not able to satisfy his spiritual master. And on the other hand, dealing with Mr. N and the lawyers and the government, and plus, devotees who are completely unmotivated to serve in this land, it was becoming too much for Giriraj. So Giriraj told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I'm all alone here, I'm not able to take this any further, I would like to just relinquish my position. So Prabhupada realized that the situation is becoming more and more complicated. It is not, one person handling it is not enough. So he got all his big managers, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Bhavanand Prabhu, Karandar Prabhu, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, go to Mumbai, help our Giriraj, he's young, inexperienced, simple, please help him, get out of this. And at the same time, Prabhupada said, we have a lawyer. Prabhupada had recruited a lawyer, Mr. D. So what is the lawyer's opinion about this entire activities, Mr. N? So suddenly Prabhupada gets a message from the lawyer that Mr. D tells Prabhupada that, sir, I am no longer your lawyer. I would like to resign. You know, I don't want to accept this position. So later on, they found out that Mr. N and Prabhupada's lawyer, Mr. D, were already in cahoots with each other. And this was like a major plan, and this was part of Mr. N's tactics. He had already tried this before. The same land, he would say, enter into agreements with other parties, collect advance money, and then for no reason cancel the agreement and keep the money, not give the money back. So this was like a tactic which was followed earlier also. And Mr. N thought that he could play the same game with these, you know, simple religionists who don't know the ways of the world. So Prabhupada immediately, like the transcendental father, the protector of the devotees, in the mood of Narasimha Dev, advised the devotees that you have to do two things. One, immediately file criminal charges against Mr. N, saying that he has taken our property and he has taken our money and is not willing to transfer the property in our name. And secondly, advertise far and wide in all newspapers everywhere that ISKCON has already entered into an agreement for this property with Mr. N. So you don't enter into that same property and get into trouble. This is already, we are already in an agreement. So when Mr. N saw this advertisement and this thing, he became furious. He was so furious, he said that, okay, you insignificant people, you are trying to challenge me, you don't know who I am. He said the agreement is cancelled
And he claimed that the 2 lakhs that you have given me, that completely forfeited. And the water supply that was there in the land, he shut the complete water supply. And again he would send hoodlums, gundas to the property. And, you know, there would be simple Prabhujis and Matajis serving there, Prabhupada disciples, senior devotees. And these hoodlums would be there brandishing machetes and trying to threaten them, looking menacingly at them. And also Mr. N was working with other other people also who were supporting him, like Mr. Matre, three prominent people in his group, Mr. Matre, who was distributing leaflets at Parla, Villeparle station and Santa Cruz railway station, attributing scandalous behavior on the part of the devotees staying in Hare Krishna land. Mr. Tambe, an MLA who was trying to organize life members, like ISKCON was slowly trying to get sympathizers, life members, supporters. So he was making plans and poisoning the minds of these life members and sympathizers against ISKCON and ISKCON's activities. And Mr. Rane, he was one of the neighbors and he was proficient at practicing black magic, trying to disturb Srila Prabhupada and the tenants. So the devotee, and whereas these external problems are happening, Prabhupada also has to face the internal problems of, you know, devotees not being motivated. The roof is leaking, the floor is crumbling, there are rats, mosquitoes, flies, poisonous snakes at some times, and also because of all these reasons, you know, mind you, all these devotees, they are coming from the West. Western background means you press any button and you get what you want. And they have come from the West, you know, taking to a new philosophy, new place, new climate, everything new. And they've been asked to make such high sacrifices. So devotees may on and off falling sick with malaria, serious diseases like hepatitis. So devotees were also not so motivated to be on the land. So they were thinking, let us relinquish the land, let us look for some other place. So now Mr. N had completely severed relations with all the other devotees, but only one person he had a good relationship with, that was Shyam Sundar Prabhu, because he was attached to Shyam Sundar Prabhu's 5-year-old daughter, Saraswati. So when Shyam Sundar Prabhu was in Hyderabad, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, along with Prabhupada, he told Prabhupada that Mr. N is in Hyderabad, let's meet up again. So then Mr. N met with Prabhupada, and mind you, so far he does not have any problems with Prabhupada. He is speaking very nicely to Prabhupada, still cordial with Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada and Mr. N met and they decided on a new agreement. Now according to this new agreement, the devotees would pay 5 lakhs for the sales tax and receive the deed. But this entire transaction would have to be completed within 3 weeks. If it was not done within 3 weeks, then the agreement was cancelled. So at this time, you know, it became November 1972, the devotees arranged for 5 lakhs, but Mr. N was still delaying. He was not giving the transfer deed still. So at this time, Prabhupada was in Ahmedabad, and somehow the devotees, it was either get the deed or get the money back. So when the devotees were discussing with some knowledgeable people about this, and somehow they came to the conclusion that if they have to get the money back, then somehow they should cancel the new deed. Somehow this idea got into their mind. And when Prabhupada was in Ahmedabad, he sensed that devotees might do something, you know, terrible like this. So it was very late in the night, he sent one of his woman disciples, Vishakha Mataji, to go back to Bombay. He said that normally it's very late and normally this job is not supposed to be done by a woman, but there is no one else here. Therefore, I'm requesting you, kindly go to the devotees in Bombay, take the next train out of Ahmedabad and advise them. Under no circumstances should they cancel the deed. So she takes the last train out of Ahmedabad, reaches Bombay, but by the time she reaches Bombay, the devotees have already cancelled the deed. So now, Giriraj calls up Prabhupada in Ahmedabad, and Prabhupada answers the phone, Bhaktivedanta Swami here. So Giriraj says, Prabhupada, you sent a devotee to
from Ahmedabad here to tell us not to. Prabhupada was, just cut him short. Just come to the point. What do you want? Prabhupada, they have already cancelled the deed. So, Prabhupada became silent. And with a voice mixed with resignation and anger, he said, then everything is finished. Because try and understand the situation. The devotees have paid money to Mr. N. And now they do not have the deed. So, they don't have the property, is not still in ISKCON's name. And now, because the devotees are on the land, legally, they are not supposed to be there. They have occupied the land illegally. So, but Prabhupada was not willing to give up. He said, I will be the last person to surrender to this Mr. N. So therefore, we have to see, when we see this activity of Prabhupada, we should never judge the devotee, the activities of a pure devotee externally. Because there are reasons, because Prabhupada was so compassionate, he knew that this center would help so many millions of souls get Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness, which they would not be able to get without this center. And plus there was an internal reason, because when Prabhupada had installed the Radha Rasbihari deities, he prayed to the deities that, please stay here and I will arrange to build a magnificent temple for you. So, because he made the promise to the deities, therefore, he wanted the deities to enjoy the facilities that he would make for the deities in due course of time. And also, this was a very tough fight, because even though Prabhupada, wherever he went, he had met a lot of opposition, but this was, never before was his preaching challenged in such a way that somebody was actively trying to cheat him, destroy his preaching, destroy the reputation of ISKCON, disperse his disciples and well-wishers, trying to put seeds of dissension within them, and also try to take away the deities, disperse the deities. So, Srila Prabhupada, in other words, was fighting on the side of Krishna. And Mr. N, he was thinking that Prabhupada is also motivated, you know, by the same reasons as him, material possessions. But he was not understanding that by opposing Prabhupada and the devotees, he had chosen to oppose the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada decided that this external situations, like we discussed earlier, external situations will remain, but we should not decrease the preaching. In fact, in such situations, the preaching should increase more. So, and this will also enthuse the devotees more. So Prabhupada decided on a Pandal program. Another Pandal program, again in South Bombay. Again, 20,000 people visiting every night. Very huge success. Different dignitaries and very important guests and VIPs were attending. A lot of prasadam was being distributed. And finally, but Prabhupada was still thinking that this court case is going on. Remember, ISKCON has filed criminal charges against Mr. N. And this court case is going on. But Prabhupada still wanted a kind of a settlement, out-of-court settlement with Mr. N, because that would be faster. As you know, Indian courts very slow to take up, judgments, to pass judgments. But at this time, the situation had completely changed and Mr. N dropped all kinds of civility and cordiality. They were basically shouting at each other. Mr. N was saying, you are all CIA agents. You are not supposed to be here. You are spies. Get out of here. So Prabhupada, just like a devotee, anger per se is neither good nor bad. It is how you use it. Just like Hanuman and Arjun were angry, similarly Prabhupada was using anger in the service of the Lord. So Prabhupada also raised his voice, said, give us the land, deed, or give us our money back. So Mr. N said, are you the owners? Why do you claim to be the owners? You're creating such a nuisance. So Prabhupada said, we are not the owners, we never claim to be the owners. We have always maintained that Krishna is the real owner. You just give us the money, you just give us the check right now, and by tomorrow morning, we will vacate the place. Why tomorrow morning? Tonight, you give us a check for 2 lakhs right now, and tonight we will vacate the place. So Mr. N, he is trembling with rage now. You can see his veins throbbing. And he points an accusing finger at Prabhupada and said that, I will remove the deities myself. I will break the temple and I will take out the deities.
You don't know who I am. I'll show all of you. And after pointing an accusing finger at all the devotees and at Prabhupada, he left. And the devotees were stunned actually, because never before had anybody attacked Prabhupada so vitriolically. And after 2 days, the devotees received the news that Mr. N had a massive heart attack. And after 2 weeks, Mr. N never really recovered from that heart attack and he died.
Jai Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.
So after Mr. N died, the fight was not over actually, because his illustrious wife, Mrs. N, decided to carry on this fight. And in fact, the persons instigating her was basically her own lawyers, because they wanted to collect the fees. So they said, don't give up the fight. You know, let's go on. Let it go to the High Court. And till April 1973, there was no need, no deed, no construction. And Prabhupada also cannot start the construction because there is no surety when they will get the deed. So Prabhupada went on another tour. So far in Mumbai, everything was peaceful. But this was just like a lull before the storm, because on June 1st, suddenly, there was a truck that came into the property and demolitionists from the local ward office got out with sledgehammers, blow torches, ready to demolish the temple, makeshift structure that the devotees had made. Because Mrs. N mischievously had told the local ward office authorities that there is an illegal temple here, you should demolish it. So soon over 100 demolitionists swarmed over the property, and their plan was systematically remove the steel supports of the Kirtan hall and move methodically to the, you know, DT room and destroy the entire structure. And the devotees obviously started protesting, and when they saw this protest was happening, the police force was called in, and the police were working in pairs, and they would catch the hands and legs of each devotee and just throw them out of the property. In fact, so much that the police were not even ashamed to attack women. They would drag women by the hair and just pull them out of the property. At this time, this Rane, you know, the person who would practice black magic, he was laughing, showing his teeth and laughing. And one of the devotees was so disturbed, Mataji, she cried out, why are you laughing like this? Don't you understand that the fire of this aparad that you are committing towards devotees will soon devour you? Don't you understand? Give up your sinful ways. So at that time, one of the devotees, Manashvi Mataji, she ran and called Mr. Mahadevya. So when Mr. Mahadevya came there, you know, the last Mataji was being pulled out by the policeman. She was trying to protect the deities by closing the deity altar door. But three policemen, she had such devotion and her fighting spirit was so strong that three men had to struggle to pull her out of the altar and throw her out of the property. So Mr. Mahadevya called up his brother, who was connected with a very, very influential political leader in Maharashtra. So this person, when he knew, he was sympathetic to the cause of the Hindus, Hindutva. So he contacted the municipal commissioner and said that, you know, what is happening here? You know, in Juhu, at the instigation of a Hindu, the Hindu temple is being demolished. What is happening? So the municipal commissioner said, I don't know anything, what is happening? So municipal commissioner contacted the local ward office, and the ward office urgently sent another person to Juhu property, giving a message that stop the demolition. So just as the people, the demolitionists were dismantling, they were already reached the DT room and they were busy removing the roof above the DTs. That time, that man came and said, around 2 o'clock in the morning, remember, they came at 10 o'clock in the morning, and 2 o'clock, he came and said, stop the demolition. Because even a little late, and they would have destroyed the entire altar and probably damaged the DTs also. So when Prabhupada heard this, again he took the mood of Narasimhadev. And he was in the lead and he told the devotees that this is a very nice thing. Krishna has arranged very nice opportunity for us to present our point of view to the other Indians, our compatriots. So organized local ISKCON sympathizers and life members to protest, he said. And he also asked, you know, help from friends who were influential in the political circles, like Mr. Sadajivatlal and Mr. Vinod Gupta. And they were writing letters. In fact, Mr. Sadajivatlal, he had opened his office for devotees to be there from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. in the night. And devotees would just be writing letters to newspapers, to editors, you know, different contacting different reporters, you know, TV stations, and telling them that this is what is happening. And, you know, please present our point of view to the world. So, this was so successful that the municipal corporation unanimously, it was not a vote, unanimously condemned the officials that were responsible for this attack on the ISKCON temples, which is like a major political and social victory for ISKCON. And life members who were initially, remember, they were being poisoned by Mr. Tambe, when they saw this, they also became very sympathetic, and earlier life members were very, very reluctant to support Prabhupada and Prabhupada's movement, but when they saw that the innocent devotees were being harassed and attacked like this, so their affection for Prabhupada grew, their affection for ISKCON grew, and they started working more closely with Prabhupada. So when Mrs. N saw all this happening, even she made the mistake of, you know, making a miscalculation that she was against a handful of young inexperienced foreigners whose arms she could just twist any way she wanted. But now suddenly she found herself face to face with Mumbai's most influential citizens. But still she was not willing to give up the fight, because she knew that the devotees, the demolition order has been given, you know, demolition, to stop the demolition, that order has been given, but the devotees might try to rebuild it. So immediately she filed a court injunction, and so that the, you know, to prevent the devotees from rebuilding the temple. Whatever is destroyed, let it be like that. Devotees should not be able to rebuild it. So she filed a court injunction. So when the justice, you know, it came in front of the judge, it was a Friday, it was filed on Friday. So the judge said that I will take up this matter only on Monday. I will pass my judgment only on Monday. So the devotees decided, if the judge rules against, you know, in favor of Mrs. N, against the devotees, then they will never get a chance to, you know, make a shelter for Radha Ras Bihari. So it is Friday evening, Monday the court opens. So we have two full days, Saturday, Sunday, 48 hours in which to rebuild whatever has been lost, whatever has been demolished. So it's Friday, 8 p.m. It's raining very heavily. And again, the life members and other well-wishers, they come together. They're working through the night, through the day, next day, 48 hours, and they are able to rebuild the temple. And on Monday morning, this is the kind of enthusiasm when one has spiritual motivation. It's unlike material motivation, that even impossible things can be done, because Krishna arranges that impossible things are done through insignificant devotees. So Monday, when the judge heard that the temple has already been built, so then he said that whatever is built is built. Now nobody can destroy the temple. Let the temple be as it is. And again, Prabhupada, now still, it's still a stalemate situation. The devotees have not yet received the deed. And Prabhupada continued on a world tour. So in September 73, he got an urgent phone call. He was in London at that time, and he got an urgent phone call from Giriraj Maharaj saying that Mrs. N was ready to settle with Prabhupada. So if you can come to Mumbai immediately, you know, you can personally come and settle. So the agreements, Prabhupada, his lawyers and Mrs. N lawyers came and decided that, okay, if Prabhupada would pay the balance amount of 12 lakhs in one go, then, you know, she would be ready to give the deed. No installments at one go if you give. So, Prabhupada was ready for this, but then he was not sure about the seriousness of Mrs. N. Seriousness of Mrs. N was still doubtful. So, there was one well-wisher, Mr. Asnani. He was a lawyer and he was also in touch with Mrs. N. So, he would go to Mrs. N and say that, you know, Mataji, please, you know, Prabhupada is there. Please meet him. Let's settle this. Now it is, remember, it is, you know, September, around October 1973, and still there is no settlement. This whole story started from December 71, almost 2 years. You know, why unnecessarily take tension? You are also facing so much anxiety. You know, devotees are also facing so much problem. Just come and meet Prabhupada and finally settle it. But still, she was not willing to come. Then finally, one day, finally Mr. Asnani said that, look, Prabhupada, tomorrow he is leaving Mumbai. He has waited so long for you, but you are not coming and meeting him. So today is the last day. Please, I request you humbly, please, let's just settle this once and for all. So then, somehow, she agreed to meet Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, at that time, was giving a lecture at a well-wisher's house, Mr. Patel's house. So Mrs. N came at 9 p.m. in the evening. So when Prabhupada heard, Prabhupada giving a lecture in the terrace, when he heard that Mrs. N has come, he interrupted his lecture, which is very rare. That shows the importance, how much importance Prabhupada attached to this, you know, this dealing. Prabhupada interrupted the lecture, went and met Mrs. N, spoke to her for some time, and then went back, gave the lecture, talked to the devotees. And when he went back inside again, it was around midnight, he saw that Mrs. N was still waiting for the devotee, for Prabhupada. And this time she just, you know, she could not control herself. She started sobbing and she was crying bitterly and she said, you know, please Swamiji, please forgive me. I have caused you and the devotees so much trouble. Please forgive me. And Prabhupada immediately, from, you know, so far she had seen only the Narasimhadev role of Prabhupada. Immediately Prabhupada transferred to the Prahlad Maharaj role and, you know, showed compassion to her and said that no problem, you're just like my daughter, don't worry, I will take care of you for the rest of your life. And Prabhupada not only decided 12 lakhs he will pay to, you know, Mrs. N, he would also give 50,000 rupees for the delay. So 12,50,000 extra money also he decided to pay her. So November 1 was a tentative deadline, and on November 1 it is expressed, you know, both the, you know, she received the money from Prabhupada and she finally signed the deed. And Giriraj Maharaj, one of the, you know, devotees who was there, you know, he was recalling that it looked like as if two world powers were signing a treaty after a big fight. You know, it was complete silence, only papers rustling and the, you know, pen writing signature, that was the only sound that was heard. And after that, you know, the devotees were obviously very happy, and Prabhupada was so happy that he said that now, because now he's finally, we have to understand the reason for happiness, because now finally he is able to help other conditioned souls, because now the center can be established, the land is ISKCON, he can develop the land and attract more and more conditioned souls to ISKCON. So then Prabhupada arranged a big feast, around a 10-course feast for the devotees, and there was a lot of jubilation, and finally Prabhupada said that it was a real nice fight. And as a end, just to see, remember those three people on Mr. N's side who were creating problems, Mr. Matre, so he was spreading rumors, you know, distributing those pamphlets. So the way Krishna reciprocated is that he was the head of a trust who had a lot of schools under him. So it was suddenly exposed that this person, Mr. Matre, he tried to destroy the reputation of the devotees, and it was exposed that Mr. Matre was having an illicit affair with one of the teachers in his school. And he was exposed. His scandal was exposed. This scandal was exposed. And his entire reputation was destroyed. So the way he tried to destroy the reputation of the devotees, his own reputation was destroyed. Mr. Tambe, the MLA, who was trying to create dissension among the life members, calling meetings. So one day he was just going to call a meeting of the life members. Even though the land was got, he was still continuing his wrong practices. So one day in the morning, his meeting was in the afternoon, he could not just get up. He was paralyzed completely, whole body was paralyzed. And for the next 20 years of his life, he was like that. He never really recovered and he died a very miserable death. And Rane, Mr. Rane, the black magician, who was cursed by that Mataji devotee, that you will suffer, you will burn in the reaction, sinful reaction. What happened to him was, in Mangalarti, the devotees were having Mangalarti in Juhu property, and suddenly they heard a wild scream. And when they went out, they saw that Mr. Rane was ablaze and he was just screaming for help. But even before the devotees could help him, he had died. So what had actually happened was, he was practicing his black magic. And the thing about all these inferior kind of arts demonic arts is that if you target the black magic at some person, and if it doesn't affect that person, it has to affect somebody, so it comes back on the person who's initiated it in the first place. So he had made a voodoo doll of Prabhupada, and he was trying to personally attack Prabhupada. Now, Prabhupada's spiritual strength was so strong that his practices could not even touch Prabhupada. So, suddenly, without any explanation, he went into his kitchen, put gasoline over his body, took a match and lit himself. And when he started burning, when he started feeling the heat, then he came to his senses and realized, my God, what am I doing? And just see, he came out of the house and he was in front of the devotees, and he had to actually, you know, shout to the devotees to help him. He had to come and take shelter of the devotees only. Try to at least. So, you know, that words of the Mataji devotee sadly came true. So, through this, we see how Prabhupada manifests, just like Prahlad Maharaj, the quality of tolerance and mercifulness. So many difficulties he had to tolerate. And he was also so merciful, because at every stage, so many external difficulties are there, and plus his own devotees are, you know, not able to appreciate his vision, are not able to understand why he is doing it. So Prabhupada could have easily said, okay, now just forget this property, you know, only like 2 lakhs is gone, let's just move out of Bombay. Because Bombay people, you know, Mumbaiites, they are not grateful. So let's just move out from here, set up my center somewhere else. So let me stay in the West only. But Prabhupada was so compassionate that he was willing to make sacrifices, and he was willing to be misunderstood just so that he could be, you know, an instrument of Krishna's mercy for others. So on Narasimha Chaturdashi tomorrow, we can also, when we are glorifying Prahlad Maharaj and Narasimha Dev, we can also remember the glorious sacrifice that His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in the mood of Lord Narasimha Dev and in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, the great sacrifices he has made to establish Krishna consciousness in Mumbai and give all of us and also future generations a very nice opportunity to perfect our life. Thank you for listening to us so patiently. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.